This is your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, December 26th. I'm Lisa Young. The Delta City Council gave city staff the green light to formulate a stricter ordinance on junk during its last meeting. According to reporting in the Delta County Independent, the code will go from required management of junk to outright prohibiting it. The move is one in a series of code updates to empower code enforcement to take action against things that are compromising the community's appearance and safety, while also reducing strain on the police department. Recent ordinances have allowed code enforcement officers to issue citations for code violations and to enforce a strict urban camping ban. More on this story can be found at DeltaCountyIndependent.com. Monthly bills will go up for Delta Montrose Electric Association customers in the new year. The change is the first rate increase in more than 6 years. According to DMEA, the main driver is inflation, not energy cost, plus the need to keep the cooperative's margins in the black while maintaining a reliable power source in a safe manner. In a recent meeting, DMEA Board of Directors approved raising the energy access fee from $29.50 per month to $37 for residential single-phase users and from $32.75 a month to $42 a month for residential phase three. For residential single-phase users, the access fee will climb by $7.50 per month or about 25 cents per day. More on this story is at montrosepress.com. With the new year just around the corner, Blue Sage Center for the Arts is hosting their 26th annual Black Eyed Pea Jubilee on Thursday, January 1st from 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. There will be live local music, a potluck, and of course, the company of friends and neighbors. This event will take place at Curtis Hall in Paonia, and it's open to the public, and everybody is welcome. You can find more information on this fun event at bluesage.org. In state news, marijuana sales near $1 billion in revenue while raising almost $200 million in state tax revenue for 2025. That's according to new monthly data published by the Colorado Department of Revenue. Colorado will likely surpass $1 billion in sales and $2 million in tax revenue before the end of the year. November figures will be published in January, with complete data for 2025 becoming available in mid-February. Scientists in Colorado have found that some of the state's man-made whitewater parks can harm fish species, including brown trout. Eric Richer is an aquatic research scientist with Colorado Parks and Wildlife. He says the structures can block some fish from moving upstream to spawn or seek refuge from drought or warming water.
If we continue to fragment our habitat, we can see fewer fish in these systems. They see less genetic diversity, which will kind of had a feedback loop. And then as these fish become in peril, the worst case scenario would likely be a listing as a threatened or endangered species.
The study examined fish movements before and after two new parks were built on rivers near Montrose and Kremling. There are about 40 whitewater parks built or in the works on Colorado waterways. Richard says he hopes the research will lead to future park designs that don't hinder fish movements. President Donald Trump has denied Colorado's request for federal help for recent fires and floods, even though the losses exceeded FEMA's threshold for federal assistance. That's according to the governor and the state's two Democratic senators. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yanis has more.
The Elk and Lee fires burned over 100,000 acres in Garfield and Rio Blanco counties this summer. And in the fall, the remains of hurricanes in the Pacific Ocean caused massive floods in southwestern Colorado. State officials say a federal disaster declaration would have unlocked FEMA funds to support recovery efforts across western Colorado. Elected officials called the decision to withhold federal funds malicious and obscene, and said the administration was playing political games with people's lives. They say since July 2024, Colorado has spent over $57 million on responding to the Elk and Lee fires, the flooding, and other disasters, and the state no longer has the capacity to assist the affected communities without federal support. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
Last week on KVNF's Farm Friday, we spoke with John Orlando, owner of Rockin' Roots in Paonia, about how potential changes to federal hemp regulations could affect the billion-dollar industry. Today, we hear from Steve Schauer, owner of Fields of Glory, who raises hemp in the North Fork Valley, about how his business could also be impacted if the bill goes into effect. Schauer learned about the measure from an article written by Kentucky legislator Rand Paul, who voiced his concerns about the new regulations, saying it could be the death of typical CBD products. Paul is voicing opposition to fellow Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell, who supports the stringent regulations despite initially supporting hemp. Schauer believes the current pushback on CBD products is a result of those who are mixing synthetics with hemp to get people high.
Some people came up with chemically altering hemp to let you get high, which they pretty much screwed the whole industry by doing that, you know, trying to make a buck by another way to get people high.
Many are speculating about who is behind the legislation. Some believe the backers are lobbyists representing the alcohol, marijuana, or big pharmaceutical companies who are in competition with hemp products. Regardless of who is backing the changes, Schauer says the bill, as it stands, would have a detrimental effect on the industry.
That 4 milliliters is so small that it effectively shuts down the industry. And that's the estimates range from $260 to $320 billion industry right now. So it would take away CBD from everybody.
The hemp grower calls the news of the funding bill the darkest day ever, but pointed to the recent change in the Trump administration's stance on marijuana as a ray of hope. By moving marijuana from a Schedule 1 to Schedule 3 under the Controlled Substance Act, more funding for research will be available for both marijuana and CBD products, something Schauer says will help validate much of the hemp industry.
And now with President Trump and Secretary Oz, and I have articles from RFK Jr., all highly in favor of the medicinal benefits of CBD, especially for seniors. And there's even talk about them figuring out a way to get Medicare coverage somewhat for CBD. So those would be absolutely huge game changers.
For now, the North Fork hemp grower and producer of CBD products says he's prepared to wait and see what happens next. In light of recent events, however, he's been debating whether to plant a crop next spring or lean on his surplus of hemp oil to ride out the storm.
Fortunately, we have already have a lot of oil that would carry us through a couple of years. So it's not an emergency. I know for probably the majority of the farmers who don't have oil stocked up, they would need to decide, like in springtime, okay, am I going to buy the seeds and the fertilizer and prep the ground and go through the whole growing season? Or would I do all that and then not be able to turn it into products?
If the federal funding bill remains the same, the changes could be a death blow to Schauer's small hemp business on the Western Slope.
For us, it would definitely, I'd say, maybe curtail our business by 90%.
Of course, the outcome for Colorado hemp growers is largely dependent on how the state decides to react to the new federal hemp regulations. As in the instance of marijuana, the state has historically gone its own way. Moving forward, the North Fork farmer says he's following the issue closely and recommends that anyone who produces hemp or uses CBD products contact their legislator and show their support.
People across the country could certainly get hold of their legislature and say, hey, this product is really benefiting me. You know, can you do anything about this legislation that is going to totally kill it?
That's your KVNF Regional Newscast. For more local and regional news, visit kvnf.org. Have a safe and enjoyable weekend. I'm Lisa Young.